This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like filling out basketball brackets. Too many choices, too much noise, and no one wants a busted budget. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break down real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Make smarter financial plays today. No luck required. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
Payne and Pendergast with you on a Tuesday. Seth, you have your index finger up pointing at the camera. You look like you got something to say.
Oh, I was calling bogus on myself, fact-checking, because I said, oh, hey, Jacob Johnson, the new fullback for the Texans, has championship experience. But he doesn't, because he was with the Patriots the year after their last Super Bowl
He's
victory.
Got last year of Brady, 1 year of Cam Newton, and a year of Mac Jones experience with the Patriots.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is still good experience. You played for Belichick. You know, Casario was in the building there, so that's all right.
We'll have to look, and because he's from Germany. So
yeah.
did he win a championship in high school or something on his club team? They don't have high school sports over
there. He's
got
an interesting background, this Jacob Johnson. We'll get to Derek Stingley Jr. in a second, but as long as we're talking about the new fullback, is this a bad take that I feel more confident in him being kind of a physical head-banging player that he spells Jacob J-A-K-O-B instead of J-A-C-O-B?
Because he's German. Yeah, that's the first thought.
K is like a hard right. letter, you know what I mean?
Right, right. Yeah, no, and there's something about it. When you learn he's from Germany, you feel like he's out there like, ein, zwei, drei, yeah.
Right.
I don't know, maybe.
Yeah.
Read into it. Yes, read into it.
J-A-K-O-B. Well, it's just that K is like, just looks, you know, K for strikeout, K for knockout, you know, that kind of thing, you know?
He's from Stuttgart.
You can't spell Jacob without K-O, you know?
Oh, yeah, but he went to high school in Jacksonville, Florida at Jean Ribault High School. So he went to a French-named high school. Kind of counteracts both. They negate each other. There,
yeah, I think you said this. He's half German. I forget which... Mom German, dad African American, or vice versa. I can't remember which. He looks like The Rock a little bit in his Wikipedia picture. Like The Rock, but with a lot of hair. So, so he's got that going for him, too. I'm kind of liking this. Boy, the more I'm talking this, I think I want a fullback on the team this year. All right, Derek Stingley Jr., we know he's going to be on the team for a very long time. J.J. Watt had an interesting tweet about this yesterday. We'll hear what people are saying about the Stingley extension here in the next several minutes. I thought this was interesting coming from J.J. Watt. He was retweeting somebody who said, man, Nico, $24 million a year looks like insane value just 10 months later. And this, again, on the same day where they signed Derek Stingley Jr. to a three-year, $30 million extension. That actually, when you dig into the numbers, which we will in a second, it's not nearly as expensive as that reporting of the extension feels. J.J. Watt says this, take care of your own early, reward them, and reap the benefits and goodwill for years to come. Everyone wins.
Yay!
I agree, and I think if we're learning something about the way Nick Caserio is operating, they re-signed Nico Collins in May of last year, didn't let it drift through the summer and become a topic at training camp. They signed Stingley about as early as you could possibly sign him to a long-term extension in the middle of March. You remember J.J. Watt's first extension came after a Defensive Player of the Year award in 2012, and then he was really good in 2013. So he's up for an extension after 3 years, and it was a topic all summer long, and it hung over the team to the point when they were practicing in Denver, and JJ broke that blocking sled. He made that famous comment like, well, at least I'm making a lot of marketing money or something like that. Something about
not having the money to pay for the repairs.
Yes. Yeah. Some comment that was very tongue-in-cheek poverty. Presto changeo, within a few days, he had a $100 million contract extension after that.
Yeah. The biggest thing about paying J.J. Watt, obviously, that you think of is, okay, yep, they paid him, and he totally deserved it. He got three defensive players of the year in four seasons. It was an impressive run. But then in his later years in Houston, the injuries really mounted up. That's where the short-term nature of an extension, these days especially, makes the most sense for really the teams and players who want to have that carrot on a stick. That, hey, I get a three-year deal or a three-year extension, that I'm still going to be a young man when it's time to get a new deal or a new renegotiation, at which point, if I'm still a really good player, the cap will have gone up, the price will be that much more. But the organization covers their butts a bit because they're only on the hook for so much guaranteed money. It's all very short and upfront, but it's weird to say, but in spending aggressively with guaranteed money upfront, in some ways it's more fiscally conservative and responsible than spreading it out over time.
That's a great distinction. I just found JJ's tweet to be funny because it felt like he was complaining about 2014 all over again. Like 10 years later, it's like, I'm going to get him one last shot at the man. But
you thought it was a shot?
No. I just thought it was kind of funny to me, just kind of ironic. No. I felt like there was like a 10% of him that was talking about his own situation back in 2014 when he was having to agitate for that contract. You know,
right?
What I mean?
But they did give it to him.
They eventually gave it to him. Yeah, they eventually gave it to him.
Yeah,
but he had to be a little vocal about it back in the day. They gave him, to your point, it's a really good point, they gave him a 6-year contract, JJ, and had to ride through the ups and downs of that. You're right. Like, he signed that extension, and then, you know, he still had 2 years left on his deal, so there's 6 more after that. So they're committed to that guy for 8 years, and like you said, the early years were great. The next several years, you know, for most of it, 2018 being the exception, it was JJ's out for the year. JJ's out for the year again. JJ's out for the year again. Like, 3 times he had four if you count the playoff game against Kansas City, but 3 where his season was severely truncated in there, and then the last one's a COVID year. The last year with the Texans is a COVID year. He didn't even get to the end of that extension. You know, he had to ask to get cut from that. So, yeah, you pointed this out yesterday, too, the way that Nick Caserio is operating here, where we have yet to see anything longer than a 3-year contract, either with new free agents or with taking care of guys in-house. The only contracts that he gives out that are longer than 3 years are the ones that he has to, according to the collective bargaining agreement, to rookies.
Right. Yeah, if he could, he'd give them all 2-year deals probably and just renegotiate it at some point.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and I think there's a part of Nick where he's very, very practical. And I'm sure, like anybody else who's in their 40s or 50s right now, there's a part of you that kind of chafes against, like, oh, these damn kids wanting to renegotiate their deals and everything. But the fact of the matter is, the old saying, you do business as business is being done. Nick recognizes that any of these contracts that are 4 or 5 year contracts become just 3-year contracts because players are increasingly comfortable just agitating their way out of them. So instead of dealing with the drama, just call it what it is. It's a short-term deal. If that's what they did with Stephon Diggs, they said, all right, yep, we know the situation. We're just going to make this a 1-year deal instead of creating any extra drama. And I feel like it's a more upfront way of doing business and also recognizing the psychology of the people you're doing business
with. Well, and it works both ways. Yeah, either the guy is outplaying his contract and he agitates for something, or it's these weird years at the end where there's no dead money left. You want to keep the guy around, but not at the number that's on his contract. So now you got to have the conversation about a pay cut. You know, I know it's $15 million this year. Can you play for 8? And the guy's like, no. And okay, well, it saves you those conversations too.
The pay cuts are always tricky because there's no way to predict how a guy's going to handle it.
Right.
Sometimes a player at the moment will understand it and get it and totally be like, yeah, I get it. I'll take the pay cut. But then, you know us humans work. You start thinking about it. Maybe your spouse says something along the way to you, and then you start feeling disrespected. So it's dicey.
The way this contract works out with Stingley, the 3 years, $30 million, because there were a lot of questions when the deal came down yesterday, with people asking, okay, did they exercise his fifth-year option for next year, which would be 2026? Evidently, they did. So this is 3 years where the extension really starts up in 2027. So Stingley is a Texan. It's a three-year extension.
Yeah.
But he's here for the next 5 years, till 2029.
So this is interesting, because it restructures some of my arguments for why I was in favor of it initially, because of everything I just said about the value of a short-term deal and only having a guy on the hook for a few years. Then that carrot is right there on the stick. The player doesn't start feeling like he's underpaid. I have to call bogus on myself a little bit, because it turns out it might as well be like a four-year extension in a lot of ways. That's where the sticker shock, though, of the $30 million per year instead of the previous high, which was $25 million per year, that makes sense from the Texan standpoint. What I hope that it really does, though, too, is throw everything into chaos and turmoil everywhere else in the league. Because there's a lot of players out there, Sauce Gardner or others, who might look at it and say, no, I got to get my $30 million per year.
Mm-hmm.
But no, I will not have you have control of me for the next 4 years. That's some players, it's a disadvantage in some ways, in that they think very much just about the average per year. And there's six different ways you could describe a contract and be the highest paid player in your sport. Personally, The amount of guaranteed money over the total length of the contract for me is all that would really matter.
Yeah.
I think that's the most telling about how much a team really values you. But if Stingley is cool with playing this out and doesn't start agitating with 2 years left on his contract or 3 years left on his contract, it's a really good deal for the Texans, especially if it leads to turmoil on other teams in trying to get what they think is a sale. No, I need $40 million per year. I need $30 million per year. I need $30 million per year.
Yeah.
There's a lot of other stuff that goes into
Looking
it.
Looking at you, Sauce Gardner. Looking at you. So the way it works out really is, this is 3 years. It's getting tacked on to the end of his current deal. So it averages out to about $22.6 million. A year over the next 5 years. Like, Stingley is still fairly inexpensive for two more years. And then the big money kicks in after that. And if we're being honest, Seth, once C.J. Stroud gets paid, any good player that has guaranteed money sitting on their deal is probably going to get restructured anyways to open up cap space.
Yeah.
if we're being honest, like, this contract is going to drift. As long as Stingley is upright and healthy and playing good football, this thing's going to get restructured and extended several different times, because the Texans are heading into that era of football where they're going to have to do gymnastics to open up cap space, not just have it fall in their lap like bad teams do.
Well, you know, there's an offensive tackle who plays for the Washington Commanders. His name's Laremy Tunsil.
Mm.
Yeah, I don't know if you know him. He made a good point in a press conference he had yesterday, which is that when you draft well, this is what happens.
Yeah.
That you draft well and you end up having to pay those guys. And the classic example is the Lions back in the day. They drafted way too well under the old CBA, where they had Matt Stafford, Ndamukong Suh, and
Calvin Johnson.
Yeah. They all had to pay, and it's hard to fill out a roster the rest of the way. So you do have to. You do have to make some hard decisions on veteran players. Like Laremy Tunsil, for instance. Do we love him enough and need him enough to keep him around at that price tag when we're going to have to dole out all these other contracts?
I think to circle this back to J.J. Watt for just 1 second and what he had to say. And again, J.J. tweeted. We read the tweet. I just closed it. He about taking care of your own early. He was one of those guys. Not as early as he would have liked, a few months later than he would have liked, but he got taken care of after year three back in the day. JJ again tweeted, take care of your own early, reward them, reap the benefits, goodwill for years to come, everyone wins. They've done that with Nico, they've done that with Stingley. I can virtually guarantee you they're going to do that with Will Anderson Jr. and CJ Stroud, the Texans will. And I think this is where you feel good about the way the team's operating, Seth, is that, you know, a team that's drafted really well in recent years in the first round? The Dallas Cowboys. They've assembled a lot of good young players on their team. You know what they've done? To their own detriment, to where it's turned into a topic at training camp every year, to where it's ended up costing them more money because they do it later rather than sooner. They, with Dak Prescott, CeeDee Lamb, they've drafted really well. Micah Parsons now is the one sitting there waiting for a deal. They'd done Micah Parsons a year ago, then they're probably got Micah Parsons at $33 or $34 million a year. As it stands now, they're going to have to pay him $41 million a year on an extension because the market, the roof got blown off that market within the last several months. The Texans are operating the this is all I need to say. The Texans are operating the complete opposite way the Dallas Cowboys are operating. There you go. End of subject. Like, that's how you, that's why you feel
good
about
it. You get ahead of these things.
Yes.
You just, you get ahead of them.
Yep.
So the number to watch for the cornerbacks is total guaranteed. Because right now, Stingley is far ahead of...
He's got to be way ahead of everybody.
Yeah, I think the biggest... Pat Surtain right now has $77.5 million guaranteed.
Mm-hmm.
So Stingley has his $89 million guaranteed and whatever guaranteed remains on his first deal.
Yep.
That's the real coup for Stingley and Mulligetta. The Texans, depending on how they handle the length of the control and everything, that's the part where it makes sense for them.
Stingley, man, some of these numbers that have come out in the last day or so on Stingley, I love all the attention that he's getting for this, and we'll hear from people on that in a second. I'm looking at one of these charts that charts targeted success rate and expected points added per play. These are basically an efficiency stat, and then how good you are in coverage. And they have all the little faces of all the cornerbacks that qualify, that played enough snaps, Seth. And there's this, you know, like most charts, there's this big, huge swamp in the middle of faces that you can barely make out because there's so many of them. And then there's Stingley sitting out there like Pluto. Like, he's just way, way out on the far rim of the chart all by...
Yeah.
Like, so far out, and you know who's closest to him? Kamari Lassiter. Like, that's the crazy... But, like, to me, the most encouraging thing about this chart... And I get it, it's radio. I'm just trying to explain to you guys, like, this is a chart that has all the corners, and Stingley sits way beyond everybody out in the outer, upper right-hand part of the chart.
Yeah, there are current debates as to whether Stingley is actually a planet or not.
Yes.
That's how far out they are. If you want to make the Pluto comparison, you got to check the internet to be sure whether or not he's a planet in any given time, because he's so far out there in the solar system.
I was more excited to see Kamari where he was on this than I was excited to see Stingley. I know Stingley's great. He just got
Lassiter,
paid.
Right, yeah, Lassiter, I feel, was criminally under-discussed when it came to young players last year. And I think a lot of that is simply because he was a second-round pick who didn't have a good 40 time. And people had... There was no bubbling anticipation about it. And Stingley was playing as well as he was. But yeah, as a duo, those guys were one of the best tandems in the league. Lassiter was inconsistent, as rookies tend to be, just same as Kalen Bullock. Kalen Bullock did some really, really good things, but he was very inconsistent. I think he got more consistent and smarter as the year went along. So it was very, very promising performances out of those guys. And again, when you think about guys that you feel great about and you hope are on the team for the next 10 years, there's so many more candidates on the defensive side of the ball right now than there are on the offensive side of the ball.
Yep.
You know, Nico Collins is locked up. You hope C.J. Stroud is here for the next 10 years. I'm probably missing somebody here or there, but I can't really... Nobody jumps to the top of my head. I mean, Tank Dell, if he can get back to how he used to be. I mean, right now, I just want him to play football again. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, the reality is that's his health situation right now. So they just got to figure out a way to get that way on the offensive side of the ball. Like, where are the guys that we really, really want to stick around, and that we would be miserable if they got Kyle Tuckered out of here, if they got Alex Bregman out of here, if George Springer, any of them? Like, they don't have any Kyle Tuckers on the offensive side of the ball right now.
No. I think if there's one, I mean, the obvious ones are Nico, CJ, Tank, you mentioned, if he gets back. Mixon's a veteran player. He's not a guy who's going to be around long term.
I love Joe Mixon, but I do not want a 39-year-old running back here in 10 years.
No, yeah. No, I'm just kind of spitballing. I suppose the one where I go, okay, if this guy could turn into that at the position he plays, would be Blake Fisher. Like, if Blake Fisher turns into, you know, if he turns into an upper tier tackle, then that's a guy you want to build around and get.
So that's an if. Whereas on defense, it's ironclad. Oh yeah, Will Anderson, totally want him here. Both those cornerbacks want them here long term. Bullock, I guess Bullock, I'm not 100% there yet, but he's very, very close.
Oh, he's on the radar,
I need to see him making that improvement into the. He just needs to be more consistent, like a veteran player next year.
Yep.
But he's very, very close. So Blake Fisher, if Blake Fisher can take that proverbial next step as a second-year player, and with him. I mean, a lot of it is as much about just physical maturation, which you see with offensive linemen. Guys like him that are longer and lankier, it's a combination of physical strength, but then also learning how to play in the NFL with that body type. You got to be really technically sound, and you got to have a certain lower body and core strength to you to where you don't get jacked up by guys like George Karloftis, who's kind of a physically bruising type of player.
Yeah.
That's his next step. Yep. And I know it's weird because it sounds almost like you're talking about a high school kid, but there's almost a second puberty that some offensive linemen have to go through where they get their man strength.
For sure.
I don't know if Blake Fisher should go have a kid. If he should, I don't know if he's currently married or involved or anything, but knock her up. Get your dad strength ASAP.
Oh, yeah. You can't have dad strength unless you are an actual dad. So go do it.
You know who's got like 19 kids? Bruce Matthews.
Yeah.
He only played 20 years.
Dude.
One of those numbers was an exaggeration, kids. One was not. He did play 2 decades. And he does have a lot of kids.
He has a lot 19. Of kids. Yeah, not 19.
Does he have 6 kids? And they're all like the most delightfully polite human beings you could ever meet.
It is.
I thought the first time I met Bruce Matthews' kids, I thought they were young, eager interns or something.
Mm-hmm.
Because they all were just like they're like perfectly in step and just being very polite and mm-hmm. everything, like they're on their best behavior.
Raises good kids, man, no doubt.
It can only go one of two directions when you have a boatload of kids. They're either like a delightful little band of Irish or Amish kids.
Yeah.
Or they're a delightful little band of Irish hooligans. Yeah, that's it's one or the other.
They're
either hooligans,
yes.
or they're just the perfectly behaved bunch. There is no in between.
One more Stingley number. They just killed me when I saw this. I was like, holy crap! Teams were 6 for 41 throwing the ball against Derek Stingley Jr. on passes of 10 yards or more down the field. 6 for 41 now. Now, a few of them, and this was an annoying internet thing that was happening yesterday. Like, there was a Colts account that posted the video. A.D. Mitchell burning the best cornerback in football. And he got overthrown. Yeah. There was another. I forget which team it was. Oh, no, it was the Patriots account. Kayshawn Booty scored that touchdown against Stingley right before the half of the Patriots game. That was happening yesterday.
I think the one, if I remember correctly, that A.D. Mitchell one where he was wildly and ridiculously overthrown by a quarterback who only completes 50% of his passes. That was another moment where I'm not so sure Stingley. I think Stingley thought he had safety help there, where he indeed did not end up having safety
help. Tell it to that Twitter account, Seth.
Yeah.
They were 6 for 41. Quarterbacks were throwing the ball more than 10 yards down the field on Derek Stingley Jr.
The craziest stat I saw was these are the teams where the quarterback had less than a 5 passer rating.
This is good.
The old school QB passer rating, where over 100 is good, you know. These teams were under 5 when targeting Derek Stingley. The Cowboys, right, backup quarterback.
Yep.
The Jaguars, that's funny because the Jaguars played the Texans twice,
mm-hmm.
and Trevor Lawrence played in 1.5 of those games before he selfishly tried to slide too late.
Mm-hmm.
The Buffalo Bills, I can't remember who their quarterback is, but he had a 0.0 passer rating.
Wow.
That unnamed Buffalo Bills quarterback had a 0.0 passer rating versus Derek Stingley.
Mm.
And then one Jared Goff. 0.0 passer rating against Derek Stingley.
Ah, yeah. Okay. There's a couple good ones in there.
I'll tell you what. As far as obviously Josh Allen. I mean, that was Josh Allen's worst game.
Oh, that's
of
the
year
Buffalo
and one of the worst games
is?
Of
that's
his
right.
career.
Yeah. Forgot about that. The MVP.
If he had just had a 15 passer rating versus Derek Stingley, he might have won the MVP.
That's right. And he wouldn't have been on this list. Wait a second.
Wait, who did win the MVP?
Him. Yeah.
Oh, it was Josh Allen.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
I can't remember that controversy. It was too long ago.
It was Lamar Jackson was first team all pro, but the same people, literally the same voting constituency, chose Josh Allen as the MVP.
It's odd because you'd think that Lamar Jackson, if we're just going to use the Texans, versus playoff teams and whatnot, Lamar Jackson, he definitely had a pass rating above 5 when targeting Derek Stingley because he's not on this list.
Yeah.
And he did pretty damn well against the Texans, a playoff team.
Yep.
Whereas Josh Allen, not so much.
Not so much.
And you know what? Lamar Jackson did that at NRG Stadium. I mean, quarterbacks turn to mush versus the Texans at home this year in Houston.
Yeah.
And I think that was, for me, what tipped the scales in favor of Lamar Jackson, because just what I had seen in person was, wow, Lamar Jackson acted like he was playing against a JV squad in a place that's really, really hard to play.
Yep. Here was Nick Caserio on our show back on February the 19th when we asked him, this is right before the combine, we asked him, hey, Derek Stingley Jr., new deal coming?
We're always open-minded. You know, we'll have dialogue at any different point, you know, when it's appropriate. I mean, Derek's he's one of the best corners in the league. I don't think this is like some mystery here. So Derek's a good football player. He's improved, I would say, quite a bit from his rookie season to where he is now. So, you know, if we have the opportunity to keep really good football player here for a period of time, you know, it's certainly something that we're going to explore. Those things take time. Nothing comes to fruition all at once, but Derek's earned the opportunity here. So when those conversations and the time's appropriate, you know, we'll engage in that dialogue. I think Derek's made some comments, the fact that he wants to be here for, you know, a long period of time, and you know, we want Derek to be here. So nothing's really linear. These are never linear. It's just A to B. So, but it takes a little bit of work, takes a little discussion, but he's eligible, and you know, when the time's appropriate, you know, we'll engage with his representation. But glad Derek's here. You know, and hopefully we can keep him as a Houston Texan here for a long time.
I think the one thing that Nick alluded to there, which makes you feel extra good about this contract, was that there was zero posturing by Derek Stingley in terms of side-eye emojis or anything else like that. It was the opposite. He professed his undying and never-ending love for his teammates and all of those things at the end of the season. There wasn't any part that looked like Derek Stingley was going to try to play hardball on this, which was nice to see, and I think it was genuine. I think he is... what I realized yesterday, Sean, was I was like, okay, what's a good analogy for Derek Stingley and the way he approaches the game? And I realized that he's like Yoda. I feel like there's a part that he wants to be at a different level when it comes to really feeling and being the good side of the Force. And yet, in an improvement on Yoda, he's not yapping all the time. Yoda, to be honest, he talks a bit much, okay? And he's kind of pompous, and it's just he talks down to people, frankly. And Derek Stingley is not that way. He's like an improved version of Yoda.
He doesn't have that stupid sentence structure that Yoda uses, also, where he takes the back part of the sentence and sticks it in the front, you know?
Right, right.
Contract sign, I will. Like, what is that? What?
Yeah, like, okay, so Yoda can do just about anything that he puts his mind to except speak proper English.
Right.
All right,
except,
Yoda.
Yeah.
Good for you.
Yeah. Yoda may... Now, Yoda, I think... Yoda, probably fewer durability concerns than Derek Stingley Jr. I mean, he was still doing it at, like, the age of 900 or something like that. You
That's
know?
True. I just loved it. Look, I'd love to go back and see Yoda back before social media. Like, you're going to tell me he never, you know, treated an intern inappropriately or anything?
All
you're going
right.
to find out he had like 10 hot interns
well,
or
he,
anything.
He, well,
oh,
he,
hey, look at Yoda in high school production. Is that blackface? Well, times were different. Different times were back then. Yeah.
Oh, man. And the mind tricks that Yoda, like the things he could do to make people do things.
Oh, gaslighting? Gaslight much, Yoda?
Yeah.
That's how he was the original gaslighter.
That's how you do it on the Dagobah system, Yoda. That's not how we do it here on planet Earth, okay? All right? A bit much I talk, say you. now people are texting in like Yoda on the Jim Adler, the Texas Hammer text line. Oh, man. Payne and Pendergast with you on a Tuesday. The Jaguars put out a video that I saw yesterday, about a two-minute video. The Magnificent Gladstone, I think, is... I'm feeling, Seth, like he might be a marriage between Ryan Poles, the Chicago GM, and ChatGPT. They're letting the cameras in Jacksonville into the free agency war room. So there's this video where the Magnificent Gladstone, their GM, is up there in front of everybody, you know, kind of bossing people around a little bit, like, okay, where are we at with this guy? Or where are we at? They must have some big board on the wall or whatever.
Yes.
It's and he's holding a football while he's
doing
this.
Always... This always goes well.
He's holding a football. So they're going through. This is them kind of going through. They go through their list. They get to the end of the list, and then we get a vignette from the magnificent Gladstone.
Chuma agreed. Jordan agreed. Eric Murray.
That's agreed.
It is. Is that out there yet?
You know, we're looking to create a dynamic, resilient, and perennially dominant football team. And we're going to prioritize the type of individuals who will accelerate that immediately upon arrival here in our off-season process.
We're going to accelerate that immediately
dynamic,
as we enter our
resilient,
off-season process.
Ugh.
I love him so much. I love him so much. I love these. I love that you know that he actually sat down and put time into thinking about his gimmick of holding a football. I think that's going to be one of his things. That's going to make me more folksy in the eyes of these people who don't understand my corporate buzz speak. Yes.
Dude, he's holding the football. And then at the end of the video, I couldn't tell at the end of the video who it was that they signed. I couldn't tell because it was on, the news was coming across speakerphone.
Yeah.
But whoever it was, they hang up and the magnificent Gladstone throws the football to the floor and runs over and hugs Liam Cohen. They were so happy about this free agent. Maybe it was Eric Murray. Here was this is where they've got all the scouts sitting at the table. And the magnificent Gladstone is going around and asking the specific scouts who have been scouting each of the free agents, give me your thumbnail sketch on this guy. Here's the scout, whoever it was, giving the Eric Murray scouting report.
Eric Murray, he's physical at the point of attack when aggressive wise, he uses his hands well. He's a good tackler in the core and running the alley, tracks as well.
I like his game.
You know?
I like his game.
The culture is nothing more than the people who are in it. And so we will invite people into our ecosystem who, by being nothing more than who they are, elevate it and create the culture by simply being themselves.
Like Eric Murray. Okay, that audio wasn't great. I understand.
Boy, he loves ecosystem.
This scout was describing somebody who felt like five times the player Eric Murray was. And this is no disrespect to Eric Murray. He was a fine backup safety for the Texans. They're paying him over $7 million a year. Like, Eric Murray's going to be the starting safety for the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Right, yep.
Yeah.
With all of his three interceptions in nine seasons in the NFL.
Yes.
This is a ball hawk, yeah. You guys know how I feel about Eric Murray. I feel like he's been a little bit unfairly maligned because he was part of B.O.B. Easterby, giving out weird contracts. They gave him the money of a starting cornerback, even though he's much more of a safety than a cornerback. It was one of the many, many weird signings of William O'Brien,
yep,
Esquire. His versatility was helpful to the Texans, and he did some good things for the Texans. But
$7 million.
Being a critical part of the magnificent Gladstone's ecosystem,
yeah,
more power to you. I feel like, I want to say this, except I feel like it would be... No, I can't.
What?
This would be something the magnificent Gladstone would say. I would say, hey, you can have your ecosystem. We've got our Nico system. And then I'd spike the football.
Yes.
I'd spike the football.
Dude,
And then I would kiss a poster, a fat head of Nico Collins on the wall.
He threw him on the forehead. He threw that.
Wouldn't be creepy the way Yoda would do it.
No. Okay. So people are texting in about Yoda. Thanks a lot for this, Seth. People are texting.
Give me all the Yoda. Give me all the Yoda slander.
Well, there's several people saying there's a Dave Chappelle Show skit about Yoda and all of his minions, sexually harassing people and stuff like that.
Listen. I've been on this earth long enough,
yeah,
to know. Listen, when a guy like Yoda comes along, there's stuff. Mm-hmm. All right, the charismatic leader. There's stuff somewhere.
Oh yeah,
it's just a matter of whether he suppresses
charismatic
it or not.
Leader with a bunch of students. Yes,
yeah, students who will do anything and everything they
yes.
ask. They have complete and total obedience to their master. Yeah. Yoda's got some skeletons in his closet.
Text message. Relations with that woman I did not have. Funny you are, Seth. That's on there. I want to punch him in the face. I don't know who they're talking about with that
Yoda?
Text. Probably Yoda.
Either Yoda or me.
I'm going to guess Yoda, yeah.
If he's one of Yoda's minions, he's coming after me.
That's right. And then we're getting some magnificent Gladstone texts. He gave Diami Brown $10 million.
Oh, yeah.
I think he has 308 yards in his best year. That's double what DeAndre Hopkins is getting next year.
Diami Brown, 1 year, $10 million. That was a little eye-popping.
Yep.
It's okay, sometimes, you know, short-term, you want to try to make a splash or fill things out. Okay, fine. Letting Evan Engram go, I get it. It's that you want maybe more of a complete tight end. They did sign a tight end. The one that I'm going to be watching, because this is a potential to blow up in my face, me being all petty about the Jaguars, they signed a guard, Patrick McCary.
Yeah.
He was a really good pass blocker, but a middling run blocker on a team that has Lamar Jackson and Derrick Henry.
Right.
And I wonder if this is one of those things. And they gave him a good chunk of money. It was 3 years, however much money. But, you know, as a guy that was hoping the Texans would sign some notable interior offensive linemen, I think McCary, I remember, you know, going up and doing my research on the Ravens and seeing so many people so frustrated with the Ravens offensive line. Sometimes the offensive line looks a lot better than they actually are, because the quarterback, a mobile quarterback, and then especially when you pair him with Derrick Henry, mm-hmm. those guys make the offensive line look better, as opposed to having a really dominant offensive line that makes the running back and quarterback look better. So I'm hoping and crossing my fingers that was a drastic overspend.
That was the one part of this 2.5 minute video where I kind of started getting a little queasy. Is they had the scout that they had assigned to McCary, describing McCary, and I'm like, oh, that would actually be kind of a nice addition on the Texans offense if he's accurate in his description, you know, like, oh.
Yeah, I know. My thought was, when I first started digging into the Ravens, because I hadn't really watched them much other than highlights during the year, I had the same thought. I was like, okay, they're getting by with this offensive line. Yeah. And when I say getting by, they've got the runner-up for the MVP, and they've got Derrick Henry, who rushed for 1,921 yards.
Yeah. Like
So I was trying to figure out exactly, like, all right, how do I really want to crush these guys? And I'm glad I didn't, because there was no part of that Ravens game that I would have felt good about saying anything negative about the Ravens.
31-2. Yeah. No. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. Mock draft injection time. This is an interesting one, because the player that is getting drafted by the Texans has and is coming back from the same injury that Seth Payne had to come back from at one point. So I figure Seth has a good perspective on this one. So we'll do the mock draft injection, a CBS Sports joint, coming up next.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
Hmm. I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something...
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and get up to 40% off with minimum purchase. Rules and restrictions may apply.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest, over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
From the Mokarem Injury Lawyers Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
Update, Kyle Tucker, 0-4 as a Cub. He sucks.
Oh, no.
He's terrible at baseball. Oh, you're rooting for him?
No, I'm being sarcastic. Oh. So, for those of you who don't know, opening day is today. And by that, I don't know how the international dateline works. Is it yesterday in Japan or is it tomorrow in Japan?
You know you're asking the wrong guy on that one.
I have no idea what's going on. It's just that opening day is today because they're playing international regular season games that count. And Kyle Tucker is 0-4.
Poor Kyle. Hmm. Yeah, poor Kyle. 0-4. And the Cubs are losing 4-1. Boy, they're going to boo him out of this. Yeah. Yeah. Well, they're losing to the Dodgers. That's...
I can't actually say,
be rooting for the Cubs there. Yeah,
there's nothing about this game where you say, yeah, this is the kind of game come September you'll think about, yeah, I should have won that one. No,
Dodgers are good at baseball.
Playing the Dodgers in their basically their hometown of Japan.
Yes. Shohei and a couple others on the team. Yeah, it's true. It's true. All right, we'll do the Penny Cast at the top of the hour. This is the perfect time of year to do the Petty Cast, because what I've learned since we've started doing the Petty Cast every Tuesday at 8 o'clock over the last couple months, Seth, is that as it turns out, the pettiest group of people on the face of the earth are college basketball coaches. By far.
I know. You're right.
It's incredible.
We're going into this is going to be a golden era of the Petty Cast.
Yes. The next 3 weeks is going to be a golden era. It's going to be amazing.
It's going to help and sustain me as I try to continue my quest to try to be somehow a little bit better of a human being. And yet, every week, the Petty Cast brings me back in.
That's what it's there for.
It hits the reset button. Yes. They're like, no, Seth, you're a cranky bastard. Did you forget?
Into it. Yeah.
You're an irritable SOB.
That's right. All right, so let's get to the mock draft injection. We do this each and every day at 7:45. We pick out a different mock draft that's out there and figure out what's going to happen with these Houston Texans when draft time rolls around. Man, it's coming up about 5 weeks away, I think. So it'll be here before we know it. This is a CBSSports.com joint. Boy, I don't know any outlet that's got more people cranking out the mock drafts. They've got like a factory at CBS where they spit out mock drafts. This is Mike Renner, one of their NFL writers, and he puts out this mock draft where, with the 25th overall pick, Houston Texans select Josh Simmons, offensive tackle, Ohio State University, and they say this. Mike Renner does. Josh Simmons comes with a big injury red flag, but beggars can't be choosers. That feels a little drastic for the 25th overall pick. Beggars can't be choosers.
Beggars can't be choosers.
The 25th pick in the draft. What's
you
everybody asking?
Son, Mike Renner. Yeah. You're on my list.
Yeah. He says this. His first half of the season before tearing his patellar tendon, Simmons was as good as anyone else in this class of offensive linemen.
Yeah.
So I guess what's driving him down there is the patellar tendon tear, which you know something about.
Oh, yeah. I had a partial patellar tendon tear. Jordan had partial patellar tendon tears. Yeah. And remember what it was like when people had questions about Jordan's athleticism? It was because he was hobbling around on two torn patellar tendons.
Yes.
So without knowing, this is the only thing I'd say is they scare the crap out of me just because it's not always as simple as the, you know, when you get your ACL, sometimes they'll take a part of your patellar tendon to become the ACL, mm-hmm. and that's the hardest part of the rehab is rehabbing the patellar tendon. So it's not like it's unheard of or anything. I mean, they have intentional patellar tendon tears all the time with ACL surgeries.
Yeah.
But that's the hardest part of the rehab. So I think the physical and exactly where he is as close to the draft as you're allowed to examine him mm-hmm. and how he's working out is going to be a big deal. So October, November, December, January, February, March, April, six plus months out from the injury, he should be doing a lot of stuff. And if it looks like a normal ACL type rehab, then hopefully it wouldn't be an issue. But yeah, you never know. You just never know what to, like, I don't know the severity of the tear, where it was on the tendon and all that. You just never know.
There was a time with the Texans, and maybe it's changed with DeMeco in the building now, who knows, but that first full draft that Nick had in 2022, the 2021 draft was the one where he picked Davis Mills with his first pick. He didn't pick till the third round. First real draft that he had. Seth, if you look at the players he took early on in that draft, Derek Stingley Jr., major injury issues. Kenyon Green, injury issues. John Mechie, actual torn ACL. So I do wonder if, and that's been 3 years ago now, I get it. I do wonder if how that class kind of worked out injury-wise affects how they've operated moving forward. Now, did Juice Scruggs have injury issues coming in? I feel like he may have when they
drafted him. Well, he had a really bad car accident.
Car accident, that's what it was.
It ended up, he missed an entire season, might not have come back and played football, and that was, if I remember correctly, a back injury of some sort.
Yeah.
So, I think with Nick, it feels like, and this just might be random chance or luck of the draw, it does feel like there's times where he might look at an injury issue as something that drives a guy down the board, but that he doesn't put as much stock in it. Because sometimes injuries are just bad luck. So that he feels like there can be value sometimes in taking a guy who's had injury issues. With Derek Stingley, that wasn't the case because that was the guy they chose.
Yeah.
Very, very high in the draft. With Josh Simmons, again, depending on the nature of the patellar tendon tear, it can be as simple as you could treat it just like it's an ACL tear, which if there's no cartilage damage or anything else going on like that, then it shouldn't be that big of a deal. I mean, I hate watching college offensive linemen just because I genuinely hate all offensive linemen.
Sure, yes.
You know,
yep.
Except for the ones that I know personally.
Right.
They're the exceptions. Mm-hmm. The rest of them I despise.
The ones listening right now, for example.
Yeah, yes. I like Josh Simmons. I like watching him. He's very athletic, and he has the size that you want. He's a little bit like Blake Fisher in that you just wonder, all right, is he strong enough? And I think he's just, combine measurements aside and whatnot, he plays a little bit more athletically than Blake Fisher did. Mm-hmm. I mean, he kind of, when he's moving in space, he looks like a basketball player playing defense in a good way. Like, there's no heel clicking with this kid. He's shuffling around. He gets the right angles and takes the right positions. He's got pretty good technique for a college kid. And he plays with a lot of energy and a lot of athleticism. It's just there's a little bit of pop and power that he still needs to develop. And I don't know if that's physical maturity or if he just doesn't have it in him. But I'd be very, very comfortable with that pick.
Yeah.
As long as his knee is fine, obviously.
Is he a tackle? Purely a tackle?
I believe so, yeah. I don't look at him as the same way I would never look at Blake Fisher as a guard. Like, I don't think they're guys that really going to be able to get down low and root guys out and all of that. He's just a lankier offensive tackle looking dude.
This draft has Cam Ward coming into the division with the Tennessee Titans with the first overall pick. So we get a little quarterback juice. And then has the Jags drafting Mason Graham, the defensive tackle out of Michigan with the fifth overall pick. And then Tyler Warren, big shocker, going to the Colts with the 14th pick. So if you're wondering who else is coming in the AFC South in this particular mock draft, there you go.
I guess at some point, I don't know if this was the actual topic or not, but one of our listeners said that on the afternoon show, on the drive, somebody had come up with a hypothetical, would you take Tyler Warren if he was available there at 25?
Yes.
And my immediate response was, there's almost nothing that would prevent me from taking him at 25. Unless it was like felonious type stuff.
And
a crime, you know, a pretty violent felony, too. I would be very forgiving of tax fraud or something like that. But there's almost nothing that would keep me from taking Tyler Warren at 25 if he was there.
That's my first thought, is I feel like there's a correlation. Like, if he's there at 25, it's probably something the Texans as an organization don't have an appetite for.
He was dealing fentanyl.
Right. Like you just said.
Not taking fentanyl.
No.
I said this on my YouTube channel. Yeah. If he's taking fentanyl
and
he played as well as he did, there's a big upside there. We clean him up.
Yeah.
There you go. Now, if he's dealing it, that's a whole other matter.
That's right. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. Let's heading into the 8 o'clock hour here, the Petty Cast. All right, we get petty each and every Tuesday at 8 o'clock. Text in your petties, 713-572-4610. If you want to text them in Yoda speak, knock yourself out, because we've got this going on. You asked about the international dateline, Seth. Text message. Ahead of us they are. Tomorrow, Japan is. We love you guys.
So opening day is March 19th,
tomorrow.
2025.
According to this texter. I don't know if they're right.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. Pettycast, the most petty group of people on earth, college basketball coaches in March. We will get to that. And a whole lot more petty, some good ones coming up next.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Ugh, your clothes are too tight, yet you can't lose weight, even though you've tried so many diets. The reason you're having trouble losing weight could be a liver clogged with fat, and that is slowing your metabolism. Introducing Omicid, a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism, so it's easier to lose weight, and it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Find out more and see the university studies at omicid.com. That's AlmaSed.com.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.